How to become time rich. Before we dive into today's episode, I want you to head on over to heatherchauvin.com/live and join our next live webinar. It's June 6th and the 13th. So I have two live dates for you if you cannot make one. Also, what I wanted to say is when I am teaching live webinars, there's a lot of doing. So create the space, bring your pen and paper, and head on over to Heather Chauvin, chauvin.com/live, L-I-V-E. How to become time rich for busy women managing people, raising children, and deeply desiring more from life. I'm really intrigued by how people take an idea and make it their reality. Like the mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual barriers that they had to overcome in order to actualize or manifest what they truly wanted in their lives. And I'm really excited today to share an interview I did with Alexa Fisher. She is the creator of the goal-setting, wish-granting jewelry company called Wish Beads. She's the author of the book Wish Work, and she's also an online educator, coach, and speaker whose work has shared the common goal of helping people go after their dreams, building their confidence, and breaking free from fear. She is also a former actress. She's been on shows like CSI and Bones. If you Google her, you may recognize her. And today we're talking about reinventing wishing, the power of visualization, intention, and action. You know, I'm all about action. And making your wishes and your dreams and your goals come true. Also, the hustle and heart of entrepreneurship and balancing that with motherhood. And also why, you know, our hardest struggles have often been our biggest lessons. So I'm thinking now more than ever during this holiday season and the end of 2020, not only is this a beautiful gift, you can go to Wish Beads, so WISH Beads, BEADS.com, and gift out this beautiful gift to friends and family, but also just listening to the journey of Alexa and how, you know, we can dream bigger. And when shit hits the fan and we're like, I just can't go on, this is the time to rise. So I really hope you enjoy this conversation. If you do, please let me know. Head on over to Instagram, follow me, subscribe, send me a DM, let me know what you thought, tag me there as well. I really appreciate it when you take screenshots and post it in your stories and tag me at @HeatherChauvin_. What else do I have for you? We are also still doing our gratitude gift giving campaign. So every single gift that you send to a woman, a gratitude gift that a woman in your life, we are donating a portion of the proceeds to a local treatment facility for women recovering with addiction. So you can head on over to my website, heatherchauvin.com. You'll see it there at the top, the Pay It Forward gift giving campaign. So we are going to do that until December 4th. And then we may keep it open a little bit longer, but our goal is to wrap up as many as possible before December 4th. And I want to say thank you, because every gift that you send is not only making an impact in my local community, but it is also contributing to the awareness of my upcoming book called Dying to Be a Good Mother. And you also get an instant download of the intro and chapter one of my book. So thank you, thank you, thank you. So heatherchauvin.com/payitforward. All right, Miss Alexa, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
This is the first time we meet, and I've been following you, been diving deeper, more into your world, and I'm really excited to get to know you. And I just think it's beautiful how you could say the universe, whatever, brings like-minded people together. There's so much good in the world when we seek it out.
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed. And, you know, at the time of this recording, we're in the midst of so much happening in the world. And in a way, all of that discombobulation, and I know you can relate to this so much in your powerful story and your powerful journey, is that that great shaking cannot actually cause the greatest shifts and the greatest seeking and the greatest curiosity. And from that, you know, beautiful things can happen. So here we are in the midst of probably you and I both saying, what do we say? What is going on? But I think that being, you know, sort of shooken up can be really healing.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's okay not to know, right? Mm-hmm. We don't always need to be the teachers. Right?
Absolutely.
We are always students, and there's opportunity to learn and grow. And the great awakening or shaking up too is, you know, for me, reflecting on my own journey and just whether it's in business or it's personal or it's motherhood, this relationship and addiction we have as women to perfectionism. Mm. And what if I get it wrong? What if I say something that was off? And everything is a learning and a growth opportunity. And to sit with your shit, to sit with the discomfort of, oh, my triggers. Oh, man, I did that. I got called out. Yep. It's like, yep. And that's your stuff to sit with. So
I hear you.
Speaking of shaking and awakening, you are here because we were talking about, it's called Wish Beads, correct?
Correct.
And I'm excited to get mine. They are in the mail somewhere.
They're in the mail. They're on their way.
On their own timeline.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Everything, I was like, slow and steady. They call it snail mail. I don't know if there's anything slower than a snail, but yes.
It's inching along to you.
Exactly. So let's talk about your story. You have a very unique story that got you to this, to where you are today. So I'm just going to give the microphone to you and let you go.
Thank
for
you.
It.
Yeah, no, it's such a pleasure to connect with you. I in turn is also very inspired by your story. I think, you know, I just turned 48, a few weeks ago, and, you know, there was some, you know, like every birthday for me causes a little bit of reflection. And I was thinking about my own journey. One that can be encapsulated as a lover of people from the time I was a little one. And I translated that love into a love of acting. I became a professional actress after attending some really awesome schools that taught acting. But what really inspired me by that journey of is understanding the human spirit and understanding that the way that I was taught acting was about understanding what does somebody want? What's their objective? That's what does the character want in any given scene? And I think that for me, that inquiry planted a very powerful seed for really what became my life's work, even after I had left acting. And I tell this story quite a bit, but I did become a professional actress. And after I graduated from Yale Drama School, I ended up working. And there was no life anymore of a professional repertory theater actress. That model was gone. So it was off to TV and film and commercials and making a living. And I started playing, you know, everything from the mom on, you know, selling Neosporin and McDonald's and God knows a million other things, to playing like lawyers and twisted pharmaceutical executives and reporters and all kinds of things on television. And I started to really get frustrated with how once I was inside the industry, fundamentally how everyone outside of the industry would put themselves down when comparing themselves to airbrush celebrities. It didn't make any sense to me because once you're inside of it, you realize that celebrities are just like everybody else. Literally, they look like everybody else too. Some of them act beautifully. Some of them act horribly. But there was this acknowledgement that this was perpetuating a BS system of compare and despair, of looking at and projecting someone else's luck or beauty or fame or whatever, but very painfully putting themselves down in the process. This bothered me. What also bothered me was the fact that I was spending an endless amount of time on set or running around in auditions and whatnot. And I felt that my time was not being used to the higher good. It wasn't enough to just be an employed actress in the world. I felt a calling to do something more. And it all came to a head one day when I was shooting an episode of the TV show Bones. I'm playing a lawyer. Something bad happened to my character. I'm laying on the filthy LA Times building, like 15 hours into the shoot, waiting for the lights, waiting for the sound, waiting for the actors to get into their place. And I thought, oh my God, what am I doing with my life? Like, oh my God, what? And literally fake blood. And you can see this because it's actually a moment that was on television. And in that moment, I did say a prayer to show me a sign of what I'm supposed to do with my life, because this cannot be it. Because on one hand, on the outside, it looks like things are going great. And on the inside, I know that this is not what I'm meant to do. And yet I have spent all of this time, energy, money, drive building this thing that if I walk away from, what the heck am I going to do with myself? Start over. So in that moment, that's what I was feeling. It was not pretty. It wasn't even pretty on the outside, but it certainly wasn't pretty on the inside. And 2 days later, a good friend called me up and said that she had a client and who was looking for a media trainer, you know, and that was really just somebody to help them become a better communicator. In this case, it was actually on stage, not on TV. And I said, yes. I said, yes, without even thinking. I said, oh my gosh, please give me a way to figure out how I can take my training and empower other people to really refine their message, to help them fuel their why, their objectives, for their message, whatever. Everyone has a message. I don't care who you are. Everyone has a message. Everybody has something that they want to say. And if I can help somebody overcome their fears, doubts, and insecurities so that they can achieve their goals, then I will feel like I am living my life full of purpose. And that one opportunity led to the next 10 years of my life, a decade of building online courses, of coaching nonprofits, CEOs, leadership teams, speaking from stages, being a contributor on major magazines. And I was just teaching people how to unlock what I call their 1,000-watt presence, this light that I believe every single one of us is born with. And last chapter, and then I'll stop. And about 4 or 5 years ago, I had a download in the shower, that classic story. There was a number of different things that
always
sort of planted
in the shower.
Oh my God. My friend Tamara calls it God's phone booth. And maybe she took it from somebody else. I don't know. So maybe I'm wrongly attributing it, but that's where I heard it from. Literally the shower. In fact, my youngest son for my birthday just got me one of those waterproof pads
oh, yeah.
of paper and pencil. It's called like shower notes or something. And it's now in the shower. So he's like, now you can write them down. Cause I'm always in the shower be like, okay, here we are conditioning, but like idea, what should I do? What's going on? Tell me what next? So super dialed in. And look, I live in California, so you have to shower quickly because of water conservation. So mm-hmm. the downloads can happen like that. But Wish Beads came to me in a flash, the name Everything. And you know this, being an entrepreneur as well, that, you know, you're one of my first thoughts as I'm seeing the product, I'm seeing the mission, I'm seeing the name, I'm seeing all of it. But one of my other parallel thoughts was the name Wish Beads is so obvious. There's no way that this name is going to be available. There's no way. It's like so obvious. It's not like a made up word or anything. So dripping wet, I run to the computer afterward and I look it up. And sure enough, my first sign is yes, it's available. The trademark, the URL, wishbeads.com, some social media handles, all available. And I took that as a sign. But at the essence, Wish Beads is an experience where you see your wish in detail. You're living your wish. Mm-hmm. You write down in detail what you experienced. The first product, it was actually a kit where you write it on paper, you roll that paper up, you glue it, you cut it into paper bead segments, and you wear that wish on your wrist. It's a bracelet that you wear on your wish with your visible handwriting on your wish, almost like a vision board you wear on your wrist. Mm-hmm. And that idea evolved into a ready-to-wear bracelet with beautiful gemstone beads and a cylinder. So you can distill your wish into a sentence or two, write it on a tiny piece of paper that's included in the jewelry. You roll it up and you stash it inside and you wear your wishes to remind you what you are wanting in life, what you're ready to create. You're setting your intention to take action to it and keep it in the forefront of your mind so that you can take action towards your deepest desires. The last little bit is I wrote a book called Wish Work. It was published in 2019, and it is a 21-day journal of action steps that will, little ways to experience life just a little bit differently so that you can start to tune in to signs, symbols, coincidences. You can be inspired to see life and take action in just a slightly different way, very manageable, mundane way almost, mm-hmm. to see again, for you to experience how powerful you are to start moving in the direction of your dreams. That is my story, Heather. That's what I'm up to.
In a nutshell, really.
In a very large nut.
So I think a lot of people who are listening to this can already say, yes, yes, yes. Like I get it. Or how do I get there? Because mm-hmm. sometimes it feels like a game of double dutch where you're like, okay, I have the books. Like, look, I have three stacks of these little oracle cards right next to me.
Of course you do. Yeah.
I remember even as a little girl, I used to love crystals and I, go into bookstores and I'd pull out books. And there's a difference between, I've heard it named like spiritual entertainment, where you are just reading and digesting, but you're not absorbing. You're not allowing it in. And kind of like when you had that moment, you're lying there like, not this, not this, not this. There was a beautiful post that Elizabeth Gilbert wrote a long time ago. It was called Not This. And every line was like, yes, 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 yes. And I hear from so many women say, I don't know what I want.
Yeah.
And I think that is bullshit.
Yeah.
So I'm curious your perspective, because I, like you said, it's little mundane things and we're shifting. So when, you know, if you gave somebody this bracelet or your book and they're like, I don't know what my wish is.
Yeah.
Where do they start?
This is such a great question. I can give you my tools for myself in those moments that I feel stuck. But I believe that you're right. Deep down, we know what we want. And deep down, there is a wise soul that has known all along. And we can mask it with the confusion of perfectionism, but that's not the truth. And when we quiet our minds and we really challenge ourselves to take an honest look about what's working for us in our life and what's not, we have to have the courage to look. We have to have the courage to write it down, to really acknowledge what is moving you in the direction that just makes you happy. Do you have a barometer? Do you have a feeling inside yourself of what brings you grace and what drains your energy? And I think that this stuff is pretty obvious in so many ways. Like looking, let's take something so simple. You wake up in the morning, you go to the restroom, you do your business, whatever, you look at yourself in the mirror in that moment. This moment that I'm sure many people do, maybe some people avoid the mirror, but at some point, if you are looking in that mirror and spewing some type of form of criticism, mm-hmm. that is draining you. If you are looking in the mirror and saying, I look like shit. There are my lines. I'm so tired. I'm, oh my God, whatever, any form of self-abuse, mm-hmm. it's in those micro moments that is the acknowledgement that is draining your energy. Instead of making a conscious choice to give you some love, just give yourself some love. You don't have to wait for it. You don't have to act. You don't have to wait till the right person says the right thing. You can give yourself love and grace in that moment. And that energy starts to build. That's what I, when you talk about these tiny little shifts of grace, right there, there's change. But when you ask, how do you know what to wish for? And I believe me, I teach a lot of people and they ask me, what is their purpose? How did you find your purpose? How do you know if it's your purpose? One of the ways that I am offering some sort of tool in the Wish Beads experience is a guided visualization. It is free. There is a, which I created a Wish Beads app. It is a free app on iTunes. If you, I don't have the Android version yet. So there is wishbeads.com/yes. It's the wish work. The first step is a guided visualization. And in that visualization, you are called to one, just get quiet. The second part of that is to imagine a moment where everything feels just right. This is not about the obtaining of items, of things that are going to make you happy. It is a moment to quiet yourself, to allow from your light this image to almost be projected onto a screen where you're seeing a moment where everything feels just right. And I think of it as almost a whisper from your soul. This is what I need to find grace and peace. And I have done this for literally thousands of people at this point. And some people may say, well, God, I consciously wanted X, Y, and Z. But when I did the experience, suddenly I see myself in this patch of a redwood forest sitting amongst the trees, and it's quiet and beautiful, and I'm alone. And that's what my soul is longing for right now. Mm-hmm. And then the piece afterward is about taking some of that information, that glimmer, and bringing it to the present. And that may be having a scented candle of pine to fill your senses. It may mean showing an image of the forest on your desktop screensaver so you can connect with that grace to give you a little bit of, you know, energetic oomph to take to help you address the emails or to handle whatever you're handling in your life, the sadness and the overwhelm. But these are the clues. And so I agree with you. I like crystals. I love tarot. I don't know anything too much about it, but I like it. There are tools, but the real work is in the tiny little changes. And I think that if we can be honest about that, and we can make tiny little graceful changes in our life, then people can experience for themselves their shift in their energy. It's personal.
Yeah, it's so personal. And everyone, not everyone, sometimes people will say to me, I need a template, like give me the blueprint. And and I don't know when it was on my journey, because I came into this through parenting. Like parenting was my in. And I was like, oh crap, I have to figure out me so that I can become the person that I want my children to be. Mm-hmm. And the first shift I had was this, oh, this is a collaboration. Like I'm walking alongside with you. Like I'm trying to figure this out just like you are. And I'm not necessarily, you know, 20 years ahead of you. I'm just willing to like take a stand for you. And I'm also willing to guide you, but I'm willing to help, you know, guide me. Like there's this collaborative effort. It's not me versus you and I'm better than you.
Totally.
And when I translate that into other areas of my life, that one takes so much pressure off of me that I have no, I don't have the answers. I'll help you find them. I'll help you guide them. But it also, the other person, whether it's a client, whether it's your partner, whether it's your children, a friend, there's this, you know, you can't be a victim in collaboration. You can't pretend that you don't know anything. The stuff, the goodness is inside of you. Like you tell me what you're finding in your visualization. And then, you know, collaboration, we can get you there together. So I'm curious what that sparked inside of you.
You know, it reminded me of a story that I had, this really interesting thing. I too am a parent. My kids are now entering the sort of tween teen years, and two boys. And I, you know, I think parenting is one of the most humbling experiences, and it's a great joy, but it's also been a great teacher. And I remember years ago, I attended this women's roundtable. It was, you know, it was a businessy roundtable thing. And there was one woman there who I really perceived had it in for me. Like it was the weirdest thing. It was like a bad flashback to middle school. And I was so confused by it. I really was. It was like I don't even understand what happened, but all of a sudden anything that I said or was just targeted by this one woman there. And I was driving in the car with my son, my older son, who I think at the time was 6. And I sort of have the feeling about parenting, like my default is like this idea of like, I take my parenting almost like a leadership role. Like it really is funny. And sometimes my kids are like, oh my God, mom, relax. Like not everything has to be a lesson about life and this and whatever. But in this one moment, I was so sort of befuddled by what had happened to me the day before that I actually wanted to hear my son's feedback about it. And he was 6, like he was little. And I said to him in the car, I was like, you know, I really would like your advice about something, you know, and I'm always giving him advice, like probably too much advice. And I said, you know, I had this experience and I went to this thing and this, every time I talked, this woman was kind of mean to me and it really made me feel bad and it made me doubt myself and it made me have like all these like really confused feelings and like, what would you do if someone was really mean to you and it made you feel bad? And my son, it was so clear. He just goes, I would just run. I would just run away. That was his advice. And I was like, oh, that's kind of good. Like he just was like, well, I mean, because in that, like, just run away, like just run away. Like it's so clear on the yard for these kids in that moment. His lens was like, don't stand next to that. Just run away. Just have none of it. Just run away. Leave. Run in the other direction. And so when you were talking, it really, that is the story, truthfully, that came up. And I remember that as a parent when I am, you know, here we are heralding and kind of guiding them through COVID. We're guiding them through a quarantine situation. We're guiding them through big feelings in our own neighborhood this weekend of looting, sirens, gunshots, helicopters over our house. We're guiding them through these big feelings times. We're guiding them through the education of racism, hard conversations. And yet there are teachers too. And so there is a different feeling. And I will tell you, when I was an actress showing up on sets, working with very big personalities, big name people, there was a lot of, especially early on in some of my biggest breaks or whatever, I showed up and I had to absolutely act like I had been there 1,000 times before. You don't come in being like, can you show me how? No, it's actually not the way that I was navigating that, for better or for worse. No. Then in my earliest big coaching jobs, working with big, big companies, they were paying me well to act like I had done it 1,000 times. Absolutely, I showed up like I had done it, like this was my 50th leadership all day seminar. But something changed when I made Wish Beads. This idea came through me. I was a humble servant of this idea, and there was so much that I had to learn about creating a physical product and putting it out into the world, that I actually changed my process completely. And I started asking for help at every turn, asking a lot of questions, owning 100% of the truth that I was new to this and that I was the messenger of this idea. I actually believe that. That's how I run my company. And that it was through so much mentorship that I am where I am today in what I would consider a relatively short period of time, but the persistence and that sort of attitude and the evolution of it and the asking questions, it's a very different thing. And I think that it, as standing here in 48 years on the planet, there's less of that perfectionism voice, less, it's still there. Because there is this place where I just don't have time for it. I'll say something that'll upset somebody. Okay. I'll feedback is welcome. But the bigger purpose, the leaning into the intention to help others, I wear that first and front and center on all the work that I'm doing, front and center. And that comes from a lot more listening and less talking.
I love that. I don't know where the listening, more listening, less talking, and filtering through, right? Like, what is that? Let's talk about, there's so much that you say, and I just want to like, I'm like, ooh, do we have this conversation? Do we have this conversation? But I'm really intrigued. I think this is really, really important, especially now, what you just said about more listening, less talking. And it kind of goes back to the beginning of this conversation, which is listening to yourself more, listening to others more. And this relationship between the inner world and the outer world. So inner world, listening to yourself, listening to the outer world, but then you're putting this through, you know, you're getting this feedback. Not all feedback needs to be taken, right? Mm-hmm. Like you could say, thank you. So what do you say about that with more listening, less talking, but as you're receiving that feedback, whether it's from within yourself or external, how to know what to implement and what to let go of?
You know, for me, I've heard or read that you practice meditation. And yes, I think that's right. Correct? Yeah. So
I wasn't sure if that was a statement or if you were.
No. I mean, I think
I do. Yes.
No. Yeah. So I've been a student of meditation for the last 18 years and studying with a teacher here in Los Angeles. And I think that there is a place where we have to go beyond the words, and that is actually a practice. So if you've read about meditation or you find your way into it, because the human experience, being a human body, is it's very difficult to process and think. We think, our ego thinks that these are our thoughts. But we are sponges for all this energy that's around us. And now with the internet and the way that we're engaging, there are so many messages in our feed, in our minds. It's very noisy, very tricky to distinguish what is our own, what is other people's. We're asking for feedback. We're listening. We're processing. We're also in the business of putting our thoughts out there, which inherently I can say I'm listening, but let's face it, when I'm on an Instagram live, which I do every morning, I'm talking. So it's, you know, it's a world, it's a hodgepodge of contradiction. So the accountability of quieting our minds is the practice, and it really is a practice. You can't really judge meditation. It's just a practice to get to the place that is beyond the words, to is the silence within, the silence of nature, the silence of your being. And that practice gives you a little bit more of a muscle of that filter, a little bit more space to not necessarily respond right away. But that space, I think, is where the higher knowledge is. It's where the recharge happens. It's where the knowing happens. And it's hard to talk about. You can't talk about it because my meditation practice is different. It's different. You can't put it actually into words. But when I read the books and when I seek inspiration from teachers like Eckhart Tolle, which I've been reading a lot lately because I'm feeling the pain body to which he so beautifully speaks about, I go back to a meditation practice to find that silence. Because when we meditate, my teacher always talks about it's almost like taking a shower to your nervous system. So you and I both relate to the power of the shower for divine inspiration. But when we shower, physically take a shower, not only are we like getting rid of the grime that is on our body. Oh my goodness, there is literally a police helicopter now hovering right above my house. Okay, present moment. We are showering the grime from our bodies. We are cleaning ourselves. We are also energetically rinsing, I'm talking about physical water, our aura. So there is actually a cleansing. So whenever you're having a heated moment, one tool is actually splash water on your face, put water over your hair, or go take a shower. But when you are meditating, you are actually taking a shower of your nervous system. And so it's a tool. Mm-hmm. I'm a big believer in tools. I use them myself. There's something I practice called the magic pause. And the magic pause is just that nurturing of space, taking space to not respond.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it takes practice, Heather. You know that too. It takes practice.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. When I started, I began the practice from a place of perfectionism and like, okay, so if I do this for 5 minutes a day for 30 days, is there a guaranteed ROI? Like, mm-hmm. can you tell mm-hmm. me what it is? And one of the first products I created was called Teach Your Kid to Meditate, because yeah. I jumped into this. You need to meditate. You need yeah. to. And I tell the story all the time because he was mirroring back to me, you know, when you have an angry or anxious child and you're being triggered by those emotions because you don't know how to feel them yourself, you know, that led me, okay, now I'm going to sit with this discomfort. And then, you know, it's not good or bad. You're just creating space for your child to feel. But a lot of the feedback I would receive from people is like, okay, we're in bed, we're doing this together. And then they just get up and they want to run around or they want to do this. And I'm like, yeah, you can't control their situation. You can't control their process. It's yeah. your discomfort with that running around, like what's going on. So I absolutely love this conversation. So let's talk a little bit about the beads. Where can people get them? What do you have? You're launching something new. What's going on in your world?
A lot going on. Yes.
As you're sitting there and there's
I know,
like
as like literally like a helicopter going on. I know we have, yeah, there's a lot happening in my neighborhood.
Where
right now.
You're in LA, you said?
I'm in Santa Monica. So at the time of this recording, it is, there was a lot of, there's a lot going on everywhere. And so there's, you know, beautiful, peaceful protests, which is, I think, a very important part of the conversation. And then there's not peaceful situations happening. And I think there's a lot of trickle of effect of happening right now. So yes, very intense times. My world exists over in a few different places. One at wishbeads.com, and all my teaching happens over at alexafisher.com. But we have a gemstone collection at Wishbeads, and it's mostly bracelets. I have a few necklaces that I offer, but gemstones inherently, and you talked about the power of crystals. And again, I'm a super novice when it comes to this thing. I like them. But the more that I learned, I saw that there is power in aligning your intention with the power, the energetic properties of the stone itself. So when I guide people through selecting a stone, I really just say, all of this is up to you. We go back to this idea of, you know, if you're drawn to a stone, there must be something there that you need to trust that you're drawn to it. Even if it's like, I love wearing black, like that's okay too. It all is okay. But the power of onyx, for example, has to do with protection and healing, grounding. So absorbing negative energy and transforming that, maybe that's what you need. African turquoise is about purpose and positivity, but maybe it's just a stone you've always loved. So there is a way to shop by intention for our gemstone collection. The other collection that I just launched are these handmade recycled glass beads from Ghana, Africa, which are just extraordinary colors. But I also love this idea that we are in this time of great reinvention. I believe that we are called to take what was once existing in one form and reinvent it and make it more beautiful. I've been inspired by these beads. They are handcrafted, as I mentioned, and they're just beautiful. So those have just launched. But also, I am coming out with a children's line later on this year. And I've, in the time of all of this great upheaval, this idea of education has become first and foremost in my mind. Teaching has always been a powerful motivator for me. And Wishbeads, on one hand, looks like a jewelry line. It looks like intentional jewelry. And it is. And it can be just that. You can say that, you know, you're ready to manifest abundance or peace or health in your life. Put that word, put it in your jewelry, and that's call it a day. Yay, there's power in that. But there's a deeper thing that I'm doing here, which has to do with education. And I've brought Wishbeads experience, the paper bead experience, to almost a couple thousand young girls around the country. And I'm also going to be launching more of the teaching first and, you know, as a primary focus at Wishbead. So that's, it's all happening, Heather. It's all happening over there. But if you go to the site, then for sure you'll and sign up, you know, you'll get, you know, discounts and things, but you'll also stay informed about the kinds of things that I'm doing. And I'm on Instagram every morning at wishbeads.official chatting.
At wishbeads.official on Instagram.
That's my Instagram, wishbeads.official. Website is wishbeads.com.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
I always say it's never about the product, right? It's always about the intention. It's always mm-hmm. about the intention. And even I just, you know, when I look around my room, like example, my squeaky chair that I'm sitting on, it's so incredibly uncomfortable, but it was my grandfather's chair. Aww. And it's just the energy and intention of that, right? So when people see it, they're like, man, don't you get so uncomfortable sitting there? And I'm like, yeah, but I can feel it. Like I feel it. I know what this represents to me. Yes. And it's like anything else. So it goes beyond that. And when you have intention behind anything, I believe that's the power of being able to manifest. Like that's the power of being able to create. So it is a powerful experience. I'm excited too. I told you this before we hit record. When I get my wish beads and then I'm going to have my experience. I'm going to go through the process and then I'm going to kind of create the intro. And then, you know, so whoever's watching this, wherever you're listening to it, if you're seeing the video and you haven't heard the full capacity of the podcast, then definitely go to Mom is in Control because that's where the podcast is. Follow Alexa and create your wish bead experience.
Yes. I always say that, you know, wish beads are not magic, but your magic. Like your magic. You are creating the magic in your life. Yeah. You are. So it's available.
I love this. I know the conversation could continue and go on and on and on, but now you're going to be interviewing me and we'll be able to continue this conversation on. Do you have a podcast as well?
I do. So if you go to, it's just the Wish Beads podcast. So if you go to wishbeads.com, you will see our podcast there. And it's also hosted in lots of other places like, you know, Spotify and iTunes and all that stuff. So I interview people that are thought leaders like you and people that have had, you know, amazing experiences doing the wish work and they share their journeys. But it's another place to go deeper, kind of go deeper with the teaching and deeper with the experience.
Yeah, I think that's exactly where the conversation needs to continue because it's, like I said, we could be talking all day, every day about this information. And it is our responsibility that if we want to be the change, and I'm using that as quotes, right? Be the change we want to see in the world, then we need to become and take that action. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
This summer, I'm being incredibly intentional about community. My word for the summer is community and connection. And I just want to say thank you for being a longtime podcast listener, or maybe you're a new listener, and I wanted to celebrate you. And I wanted to create more connections. So what I've decided to do is do a merch giveaway. If you are unfamiliar, I have a merch shop on my store, so you can go check it out on my website at heatherchauvin.com. You can purchase anything you want. But what I'm actually going to be doing is I'm going to do a giveaway for my hat, my How Do You Want to Feel baseball cap, one of my journals, which is the Emotionally Uncomfortable journal, and my beautiful Myrrh mug, which is called Excited Shitless. Excited Shitless is when you take the leap and you're like excited about your next level, but you're also terrified. So go check out the merch on my store. But here is how you can dive into the actual giveaway. Go to Instagram and find me at Heather Chauvin, Chauvin. And right now I have about like 19 or 20,000 followers. So if you're finding someone else that doesn't have that, that's not me. And all you have to do is follow me to be entered into the giveaway. And then send me a private message that says giveaway. That's all you got to do. Go follow me on Instagram at Heather Chauvin, Chauvin. I think there's an underscore after that. Follow me and DM me giveaway. And what we're going to be doing in a few weeks is we are going to announce the winner, and then we will reach out to you in your DMs on Instagram, and we're going to ask you which item you want in the merch shop. Do you want a hat? Which color do you want? Do you want a journal? Do you want a mug? Do you want a signed copy of my book? And yeah, that's it. It's all about connection, community, and gratitude. Gratitude for me this summer. And I just want to say thank you for being a listener. Thank you for, you know, all the messages that I receive on Instagram and in email. I'm just here to help women thrive. And this is not an emotionally comfortable journey, as you know, hence the reason the name of the podcast. And in order to attract more time, more energy, more money in our lives, we got to take some emotionally uncomfortable action. So I'm right there with you on the front lines. And yeah, go follow me on Instagram and DM me. Giveaway.